Blog Talk Radio.
This is Whirl with Merle. I'm your host, Merle Exit, and we're going to the Wichita, Kansas area today, hopefully. Last week, I had some technical difficulties, and I couldn't get anybody on the switchboard. My switchboard didn't seem to be operating correctly. What we have, because I don't see my callers, we have an attraction that should have a warning sign reading, if you have high blood pressure, please do not lick the walls. Houston, we don't have a problem. I have another attraction voted as one of the 8 wonders of Kansas. That's home to the actual Apollo 13 command module. And perhaps you're looking for a piece of haberdashery that isn't a headache. And then we have a museum that is home to the new IWFL Women's Football Hall of Fame. Now, do we have anybody on right now? No. So Lon is, oh, yes. And so I guess we're going back to more technical difficulties with this show. I don't understand what the problem is. Okay, let's try again. Let's see. I have anybody on here? Anybody?
Merle, can you hear us?
Who do I have?
This is the Kansas Underground Salt Museum.
Okay.
And this is Lon from the Museum of World Treasures.
Yeah.
And this is Jack from Hatman Jack's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's three.
All right.
Okay. All right, so why don't we start with, I don't know what the problem is that I have here, but all right, let's start with the, underground salt mines.
Okay, you've got Lynette and Linda here with the Kansas Underground Salt Museum.
Okay, tell us all about this attraction.
Well, this is Linda. I'm the director, and basically we have a museum inside a working salt mine that has been constantly producing rock salt since 1923. And when you arrive at our attraction, you go 650 feet underground, where you get to see and even experience some of the mining process that's been going on there for 84 years. And it's just a unique, a totally unique museum, the only one of its kind in the Western Hemisphere.
So, what is the tour like?
Well, first, after you go underground, you go down wearing a hard hat and a rescue device. You go underground and you take a tram ride out into the mine area for about 45 minutes, and then you go back and walk through exhibits where you see the history of the mining process, the geology of the area, and how the 400 feet of rock salt came to be there. And then you see how the salt is used as a huge storage facility to over 7 million documents.
7 million documents, huh?
Right. In fact, probably everybody that's listening to you right now has items stored there at underground vaults and storage, and they don't even know about it.
Really?
They store medical records from all over the United States. And they also store in 23 foreign countries, and also legal records and almost every movie ever made.
So I understand you got the Warner Brothers movies there.
We do. All of the Warner Brothers TV shows and movies are stored there, and all of their original negatives.
And so there's a strong possibility that my legacy will remain, because years ago I was in the movie Up the Down Staircase.
Oh, okay.
Well, how do you like that?
That's great.
And you never know where your legacy is going to be.
I imagine that movie stored there, and it's not just the movie. It's also everything that ended up on the cutting room floor.
Oh, that! I should try to get a hold of that.
Merle, this is Lynette with the Salt Museum as well. And one thing that Linda, I'll kind of tag on to what Linda has said in regards to the Hollywood motion picture film industry and the Warner Brothers question you asked, one thing that we're very excited about is Warner Brothers Entertainment has loaned Underground Vaults and Storage some actual movie costumes and paraphernalia that they have since put on exhibit in their display in our museum area. So we visitors to our museum get to see the original Batman costume worn by George Clooney, as well as the original Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze costume that were used in the movies Batman and Robin, as well as Ink Tane's Superman costume from Lois and Clark, the Dorothy machine from the movie Twister, which is always, of course, close to everybody's heart with Kansas and tornadoes, and people kind of associate those together. And probably most significantly, James Dean's costume or shirt that he wore in the movie Giant is also on display underground.
Wow. But the public is what does the public get to see, though? The public doesn't get to the storage area, can they?
Well, the exhibit that Lynette has just described to you is in our museum.
Oh, okay.
All of the things that she just talked about are seen by the public.
Oh, okay. So when did you start putting in the museum, by the way?
Well, the museum is a project that actually started in about 1999, but we didn't open our doors until this last May 1st.
Oh.
And we've had about 45,000 people underground to see our museum.
Oh, cool. So, and how do you get underground? What do they use?
You go on a hoist. It takes about a minute and a half. Our hoist holds 30 people at a time. It's a double-decker. And you go down in total darkness, and it takes about a minute and a half. So our hoist is actually part of our attraction.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And you said that the whole tour takes about 45 minutes that you spend there?
Actually, you'd spend about an hour and a half to 2 hours
on
a good tour. If you take time to take in everything, the first part of their tour, the dark ride that we mentioned earlier,
right?
That's going to take you about 45 minutes, and we take you through a darkened portion of the mine that has displays that are very common and natural features to the mine, man-made as well as natural from the environment from when the salt bed was being laid down. But there's things, there are features highlighted in there that are very common for the miner to see on their way out to the mine face, and we have that all on display and lit, just strategically lit for the visitor to see as they're traveling through there, and it's all tour guided by a docent that is on the tram with them. And then as they're done taking that part of the tour, we bring them back into the gallery section that then the visitor is able to go through that and self-guide them through the rest of the museum. And that usually, again, will take somebody, if they watch all the videos on the mining operations and everything, it'll take them about 30 to 45 minutes to go through that area as well. And then at the end of their tour, they're always welcome to go through our salt cellar gift shop for a nice souvenir of their visit.
Do they give chunks of salt as gifts?
They have chunks of what we call recrystallized salt available for them to purchase in the gift store. But as part of our dark ride, every guest is allowed off the tram at a salt pile, and they're able to mine up their own salt and keep it in a souvenir bag.
Oh, cool. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I had been there. When I was there, I had gotten a sneak preview, and I thought the whole thing was awesome. I can't wait to see it, and I'm sure I have a feeling I'll be in Wichita in probably March or April. But you're not actually in downtown Wichita, right? You're not in Wichita, right?
No, we're located in Hutchinson. Hutchinson is about 39 miles from Wichita.
Right.
We are part of the Wichita metro area, but it takes about 40 minutes to get from Wichita to our museum.
Okay. Well, definitely well worth it. If you're visiting Wichita, you might as well see this. It's how many salt mines are there actually in the world, or in the United States or something?
I don't know how many there are, but we are the only museum inside an active salt mine in the United States.
Okay.
And then, of course, in Europe, there are some very famous salt mine museums as well, in Poland, Germany, and Switzerland.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's so great to hear. You know, I'd like to go back when I come back. I want to revisit this and see how it looks when it's completed.
You'll be amazed how much it's changed.
Yeah, I guess so. That's absolutely fabulous. And you got a website?
We sure do. It's www.undergroundmuseum.org.
Okay, that's good. And by the way, what is the cost to do this?
The cost is $13.50 plus tax for an adult and $8.50 plus tax for a child between the ages of 4 and 12, and we don't take anyone under 4.
Oh, any particular reason?
Yes, because of the equipment that children have to wear, kids under 4 just can't handle the 2-pound self-rescuer and the hard hat.
Oh, okay. That's a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, it's great, hang on and, because if you want to hang on and just keep, listening or whatever, because we're just going to continue talking more about Wichita, I'm not sure. Do we have the Cosmosphere on the line?
Jessica from the Cosmosphere?
Hey, we do.
Oh, you hear me now. That's great.
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was going to say, Houston, we do have a problem.
We did have a problem, but it's been fixed.
Okay. I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah, so this is like, this is voted as the one of the 8 wonders of Kansas?
It is a finalist. I believe there are 24 finalists right now. The Salt Museum is a finalist also, actually.
Oh, good.
We're hoping to get it. We're going to find out, I believe, January 29th who actually wins. But, we're hoping to be one of the 8. We're in the running.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
And so tell us, what is this place all about?
Well, it's all about space, the exploration of space. It's amazing. We have one of the most significant collections of U.S. and Russian space artifacts in the world. Our U.S. Space artifacts are second only to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and we are an affiliate of the Smithsonian. And our Russian space artifacts are the most significant collection outside of Moscow. So we have the museum. We also have an IMAX Dome Theater. It was the 12th IMAX Dome Theater ever built in the world. And we also have a planetarium, and that was the way we started, actually, was from the ground up. We were a planetarium and then eventually became one of America's premier space centers. And we also have astronaut training camps. You actually can go through and
really?
Look and watch the kids. Yes, in the summer, our space camps are just bustling with kids, and got a lot of great stuff going on there as well.
What do they get to do?
All kinds of things. They get to ride our centrifuge. It pulls 5 Gs. Makes you feel like you're being pushed back into your seat. You can feel your skin start to pull back like you would if you were going really fast. And you also get to test our camp simulators, such as our shuttle simulator. It's actually connected to Mission Control, and from there the kids are able to speak to one another, because throughout the course of the camp they learn the different commands and instruments that they would use if they were actually flying a shuttle mission. So they get to do a lot of great things. We always hear great feedback from all the kids that come through our camps.
You know, like, kids have all the fun. I mean, if an adult wants to do this as a kid at heart, can they do this?
Absolutely. We have camps for people 18 and older. We have also camps for seniors, our elder hostel program. You can be 55 plus and do the camps as well. I was actually thinking about doing our adult astronaut training camp this coming summer, so I'm really excited about that.
Really? Okay.
Right. Yes, we have camps for all ages, I think 7 through 100.
What kind of shape do you have to be in as a senior?
Come as you are. Anything that you aren't comfortable doing, they can be really flexible with you. I'm sure that...
I have a feeling I may do this then.
You absolutely should.
Yeah,
definitely,
I mean,
Merle.
Well, you see, I have this whole thing about if I can do it, you can do it. And considering I'm afraid of heights and I'm afraid of water, believe me, I've done a lot of things on the edge that people say, "You're kidding me! I wouldn't even do that."
Oh wow! Yeah, and this—I mean, it is great, and a lot of the simulators that we have. If you're not comfortable doing it, you know, they could go easy on you. But of course, it's best to go full blast in the centrifuge and really try those 5 Gs. I haven't done it yet, but
well,
it's quite the ride.
Yeah, well, I bet. But what is now? How did you get the Apollo 13 command module? How do you get that? Acquire that?
Well, actually, that's a really interesting story. After the Apollo 13 landed, of course, you might know the story about it. It was considered a failure. So what they did is they stripped the Apollo 13 command module of all of its parts and sent it around the world to the different companies that manufactured them, and I believe it landed in, well, not landed, but it was sent to France, and it was on display there for a while. Well, the Cosmosphere brought it back and then just started to acquire parts, all the parts that were sent away. And so we found all the original parts and brought them back to the Cosmosphere and basically restored the Apollo 13, and that's now on display in our museum.
Yeah, well, I understand you do other restoring too, right?
We do. We have restored many spacecraft. One of our major projects, other than the Apollo 13, was the work we did with the Gemini capsule, Liberty Bell 7, which when it landed, the astronaut came out and the capsule fell to the bottom of the ocean. Well, after 30, 50 years, we brought it up and restored it to its original condition.
Wow.
And that's also now on display in our museum.
So, but do you restore things and then, like, give it back, or, you know, is it things like that? Or
oh, absolutely. Yeah, we don't keep everything that we restore.
Thank goodness.
Oh, yes, we have so many things because we're one of the only outside sites designated by the Smithsonian to restore spacecraft. So we do a lot of work with spacecraft. The V-1 and V-2 bombs, we've done quite a bit of work with those, and we have those on display, complete sets of those on display in our museum as well. And we've got some of the work that we've done has gone to museums all over the country, and also back to Smithsonian.
How much time, like, do you think, like, if somebody wanted to kind of, other than the movie itself on the IMAX?
How much time do people need to...
Would you say to... to see the museum.
To see the museum. Well, it depends. If you want to go a quick run through, you could probably do it in a few hours. But
the quick run through
is about a few hours. However, if you really, really wanted to get into all the text and all the panels, it could take you weeks to go through it.
Okay,
but I actually just did a tour today.
I gave
someone a tour, and we got through it in about an hour and a half.
Okay, so in other words, anybody, if you're really interested in space, you figure like a half a day. In other words, if you're if you're taking the time and you're visiting some of the attractions in the area, then you figure like, you know, a half a day.
Yes, a half a day would work great. You could get the IMAX in, you could get the planetarium. We also have Dr. Goddard's lab. Oh, and we have a new new interactive exhibit that we just opened, and it has a simulator that the general public can ride, that, and it's a centrifuge that only pulls 2 Gs as compared to the 5, so it's much lighter on those who may get a little sick riding our camp centrifuge.
Oh,
but
okay.
We have that as well. Yeah. So you can do all that, and yeah, in a half a day, you could get that. You could get all that in.
Yeah. So I guess eating a piece of ginger won't help, huh?
No.
No. Okay.
For some people.
Okay. And I guess you don't suggest that people necessarily like have lunch and then do that right after.
Right. We've had some problems with that in the future or in the past. We've tried to tell people, don't eat before you get on the centrifuge.
Yeah. Okay. I'll remember that when I get back down there. Yeah, I had pretty much of a quick tour. But and I just wanted the IMAX. So you said it's a dome one. Is that?
It is. It is. It's a dome theater. There aren't many of them in the world. Don't quote me on this. I want to say it's about 70 dome theaters in the world. There are more regular IMAX theaters.
Okay.
But our dome theater is just amazing because you feel like you're part of the experience because you're seeing it from all peripheral views. You're
right.
Seeing it
so,
from
so
the top and the bottom and the sides.
Yeah, so this is the kind of thing, because I think I once went to something like this, that your actual, the point of vision is really kind of, I sort of say, where the ceiling meets the wall, so that's like almost like the center, and then from there it spreads out, versus the IMAX looking like straight on.
Right, it's just like a planetarium. You have the dome,
right.
Top, dome, sides, and the image wraps around that dome.
Right, yeah, that's really cool, because like, it like takes in your entire peripheral vision. It's like you're in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah,
it is, and it gives you that sensation that you're moving. If the camera turns one way, you feel like you're turning with the camera.
Right. Okay.
It's fully immersive. It's a great experience.
Yeah. So, and what is the website for the Cosmosphere?
The Cosmosphere's website is www.cosmo.org.
Okay, and you're located. Where would you say exactly?
We are located in Hutchinson, actually a short drive from the Salt Museum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so about, I'd say maybe about 45 minutes from Wichita, but it's a pretty fast drive because I do it every day.
So, listen, and are you guys still on there from the salt mines?
We are.
Okay, well, you'll know that you got to try this out too then.
Exactly. I've been. I can't even count how many times I got to go to the Cosmosphere as a young child, and now my children enjoy getting to go, and it is a good time.
Well, maybe we'll all get together and try this.
There you go. That's a
and
plan.
Who can tolerate it?
So even the listeners out there, they don't have to live in Kansas to vote for the Cosmosphere and the Underground Salt Museum. At 8wonders.org, they can vote for us to win recognition as 2 of the 8 wonders of Kansas.
No matter
that sounds
where they
great.
Live.
Yeah,
well,
no matter the state.
Yeah, well, I'm looking for another one to be the number one wonders of Kansas. But then again, I'm it's something that I help do, because we're going to go on to talk about the Museum of World Treasures, because it's now the home to the IWFL Football Hall of Fame, which between Lon and I, we got to establish. So now that, and Lon, I got you there, don't I?
I'm here.
All right, Lon.
Yeah.
So let's go on to talk about the museum. Tell
well,
us what
know,
this is about.
The thing is, a lot of people out there who may be listening nationally may think, Wichita, Kansas, why Wichita, Kansas? And the fact is, there's such a rich array of things going on here, everything from the Salt Mine Museum and the Cosmosphere and, you know, our museum, we have a science museum and a wonderful art museum, and then all kinds of performing arts going on here. I mean, world-class music theater, symphony, ballet, opera. For a community this size, it's just really amazing the number of things that are going on. And it makes Wichita an incredible destination. It really does. People may not know that. I have to admit, before I moved here 2.5 years ago, I probably couldn't have found Wichita on the map. But in fact, it's a great place to visit, and I encourage everyone to do so. And you know, visit our museum, visit all the wonderful museums and attractions in town.
Well, what's the tell me about what are the highlights of the museum?
Museum of World Treasures?
Yeah.
Well, we have a very eclectic collection of artifacts from all over the world, including, you know, world-class dinosaur exhibits. We have the third most complete T-Rex specimen in the world. It's about 65% complete. His name is Ivan, named for the gentleman upon whose property he was found. We have also prehistoric mammal specimens. A rock and mineral room. We have Southeast Asian artifacts, Middle Eastern ancient artifacts, Mesopotamian, Assyrian, Phoenician, Greek and Roman artifacts and cultures that predated them, Mycenaean, Etruscan, etc. African artifacts and also pre-Columbian artifacts, and then a wonderful Egyptian collection that includes four non-human Egyptian mummies and two actual human Egyptian mummies. Then also we have military exhibits from the Revolution through the Vietnam era, signatures of every president on original documents, sometimes more than one document per president, or signatures of most major royal figures on original documents, some dating as far back as 1000 AD. And then we have a wonderful little Hollywood exhibit, famous entertainers, a massive sports collection, which we can talk more about in a moment, and then historic composers. We have original signatures on our signatures on original documents and music manuscripts of Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, Paganini, Rossini, and on and on. And then we just opened a new exhibit, the Lorna Smith Kardansky Historic Authors Collection, and we have first editions of Emerson, Thoreau, Dickens, et cetera, on and on, and it includes a 1632 first edition of Shakespeare. And we have an Old West collection that is small but a lot of fun, and I think I've covered everything. And I'm sure you probably want to talk about one of our newest exhibits.
Oh, yeah. Well, this, which all started by my viewing the sports memorabilia.
Right.
Yes. At which point I had said, oh, I got something for you. How would you like a permanent exhibit of the New York Sharks women's tackle football team? Since they're the only women's tackle football team that had an item displayed at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Right.
On September 1st, we opened that exhibit, and it's going to be ongoing, and every year they're slated to do, the IWFL is slated to do their induction ceremony here, and we'll add to the exhibit. And, you know, it's something, it's very unusual, but, you know, and very unique, but something that everyone should really have the opportunity to see. These are courageous women who are out there doing something that a lot of women have wanted to do for a long time, and they're doing it, so it's great.
Tell us describe what it looks like.
Well, it's rather small right now. It's maybe 20 by 20 area that this display is in. I'm guessing that's going to grow over time some. It has footballs and jerseys and signed photographs from various teams around the country. I guess the IWFL has about 35 teams now in markets.
It's getting larger and larger.
It's getting larger all the time.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then it has an area devoted to the two championship teams for this year, and of course that will change each year. It's a fun exhibit, and we highly value our relationship with the IWFL, and that's kind of the hallmark of our museum is, you know, we own about half the collection, and then the balance is on a semi-permanent loan from various collectors who include some pretty neat organizations that we have relationships with, like the American Overseas School, which is the organization that educates military youth when they're overseas. And they have their archives here in Wichita. Most people don't know that, but they don't have a museum. And so they generously loan items to us, which we display for them, including a section of the Berlin Wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I understand also you have a few items from the world-renowned sculptor Bruno Lucchese.
That's true. When we decided to do the IWFL exhibit, I thought since Bruno Lucchese is a very famous Italian architect who spent most of his career working in New York City, he has a studio in the East Village near Cooper Union. And I thought it would be neat to invite him to produce a bas-relief that is based on a photograph of women, a scene of them playing tackle football. And so we commissioned him to do this, and he created the sculpture, and it now resides as part of the IWFL exhibit. And, of course, for anyone who doesn't know, most people probably don't, a full life-size bronze sculpture that was created by him resides out in front of our museum in the plaza area. So it makes sense that we now have this relief within the museum.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah. I'm really happy that this all occurred.
It's, Gilles, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when people come to visit here, you know, because of the diversity of the collection, whether it's a motor coach group or a family or whatever the case may be, there's a little something for everyone, and it seems to keep people happy. You know, we, of course, work to achieve the highest level of museum standards with the artifacts, but people love the diversity of the collection and being able to, you know, see lots of different things. And, you can see the whole museum in an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good.
Or, you know, because there is so much here, you can spend a lot more time. I mean, you can spend
sure.
a day here easily. But for those who aren't wanting to make that big a commitment, a couple hours, you can see the whole museum and really have a great time.
That's great. And what is the website?
It's worldtreasures.org.
Okay. That's really great. And Lon, you can hang on. Well, now we talk. Does everybody know who Jack Kellogg is of Hatman Jacks?
Oh, yeah.
Well, go ahead, Jack. It's your turn.
Well, thank you. What a nice introduction. Thank you. Yeah, you know, we've been here for a lot of years, and in fact, people think that I'm probably 80 years old because I've been doing this since I was 15 years old. And, well, gosh darn it, I kind of sometimes feel like that. It's something. I'm glad you called. It's nice to visit with you.
Yeah, what to tell us about, like, well, there's two things. Like, suppose if I'm coming in and, like, gee, you know, I want to buy a hat and I have absolutely no idea, you know, what would fit or whatever. Mm-hmm. Can you, like, pick one out?
Oftentimes I kind of interview people, and my entire staff does too, you know. What hat looks good on you really depends upon a number of things. One is your personal taste. But also it boils down to how tall you are and the shape of your face, you know, your coloring, and factors such as that, because if you put the wrong hat on your face, sometimes it can accentuate things that maybe you don't want to accentuate. So we really try to, first of all, kind of figure out what kind of lifestyle, but then after that's said and done, we like to look at the face shape and features to determine what is going to look best.
And in terms of material, I have different materials? Hats,
yeah, you know, hats are, they come in lots of materials, but probably the most common are felt hats for wintertime because they retain heat, and then straw or cloth for summertime because they help to disperse heat. I mean, if you boil it down to a functional situation, that's kind of how it works. But, you know, we have them in leather and all kinds of varying fabrics, and you know, it really just a little bit depends on what you're going to wear it with.
Now, aside from like that, you have hats in the store. Do you make hats? Do you make hats for people?
Yeah, we do. We have we make custom hats, but primarily in felt. I've used to make a lot of straw hats, but The only person that's really talked me into it's been Charlie Daniels, the country star. He loves straws, and I'll make them for Charlie, but that's about it. But generally speaking, we make felt hats, and primarily, well, for men or women, actually, but felt is such a easier material to work with. There's so much I can do with felt that I can't with straw. And really what that boils down to is, you know, again, looking at the face shape, coloring, and proportion of the person, and to develop a style and a shape, and then add trim that kind of makes up what the person envisions themselves to be. Because, you know, when you really boil down to it, it's, you know, the hat is a fashion accessory that makes the biggest statement about who you are. So it kind of has to be right. It has to make a projection of who you want to be.
Right.
So we concern ourselves a lot with that. It's so much fun because it's kind of a personal thing. You know, it's maybe akin to giving a haircut, if you will, but it's a little more permanent. So
do you have any, like, a funny, like, an anecdote of maybe somebody who bought a hat that, like, insisted on it, but, you know, and it...
Yes. Well, it's funny because, you know, being that there are such specific requests from people, like, for instance, we just made a hat for... I just made a hat for Merle Haggard, the country star, and when I interviewed him about what shape he wanted, he pretty much told me, this is the hat that's my favorite, and I love it so much. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, really, Merle, can we lower the crown a little bit and make the brim a little bit less? I said, it kind of overwhelms you. And he said, well, you know, I'm a little fellow, and I need all the help I can get. And I said to him, you know, really, when you go with too high of a crown, which is the top part of the hat, or too wide of a brim, it overwhelms a person to the point that it shortens them. So, you know, so much of what we do is just kind of education. Because it would seem as though a big hat makes a person look bigger, but it's not always the case.
Uh-huh.
So that would be one antidote. We've been so lucky throughout the years, and I've really plied this trade for 30 years, since I was about 15, to have lots of different celebrity and feature-length motion picture jobs that have put us into making hats that, you know, have, you know, been seen by many, and that's kind of gratifying.
Well, let's, like, in terms of, let's say, celebrities, let's say, who's not, you know, who came like the farthest, or who, you know, came there just to get a hat?
Well, you know, they all say, you know, I've come here from Miami just to buy a hat. Well,
yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But the fact is that, you know, when people are in town is kind of how it works. Luciano Pavarotti would probably be one of the farthest travelers in terms of customers. His last gig may have been in New York, but of course he is from Italy. Go ahead.
Yeah, somehow I can't see him in a straw hat, though. That's for sure.
Oh, no, he loves straw hats.
You got him a straw hat.
Well, yeah. Oh, in fact, he came in and had his entourage of individuals that helped him out. And sure, we fixed him up with a number of straw hats, probably 6 or 7 of them, and then a couple of felts as well. So off the rack, he was able to find many things, and then we helped him out in more of a custom way, too. And what a gentleman he was. The maestro was very much of a gentleman. In fact, I asked for his autograph, and he said, where is your charge slip? I will sign that. That was good enough for me.
Yeah.
It was funny.
I could see that happening. Just in case anybody's wondering, yes, I've stopped in all these places. I guess it's now a couple of years ago that I was there, but last year I was at the Museum of World Treasures unveiling of the exhibit of the New York Sharks. And so I'm going to be back in the area. what are the places like, and you, any of you guys can, like, you know, chime in, like some other places in Wichita that, you know, that people might be interested in seeing.
Oh, boy.
Well,
that's,
you know,
a good one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lon. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I can really see if a person, you know, depending on the time of year, like right now the opera season is opening, and we have really a world-class opera here, and I'm not everyone may be an opera fan, but, you know, if they came to town during this time, they might catch a wonderful opera. I think Faust is coming up, and they're going to do the Pirates of Penzance. And then in the summertime, the folks at Music Theater of Wichita, I don't know whether you guys go and see the music theater productions, but my gosh, they're as good or perhaps better than anything I've ever seen on Broadway in New York.
It's world class.
It really is. I mean, they do just an unbelievable job. There's ballet here, and then, of course, all the wonderful museums, the Exploration Place, and Old Cowtown is a wonderful place where people can go and really get a taste of the Old West. And
yeah,
I'll shut up, and you guys can take over.
Yeah, the Wichita Art Museum, for instance, has many. They have several Hoppers. They have Cassatt. They have some wonderful Western art as well, Charlie Russell, et cetera. It's a wonderful museum. And the Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum happens to be an interesting spot because, for one thing, they cover aircraft history. As you may know, Wichita was or is the air capital of the world. And many famous brands such as Beechcraft, Cessna, and even Boeing were founded and or somewhat collaborated here. And the Wichita Historical Museum has some wonderful exhibits on aircraft as well as early Wichita history, which might surprise you.
Yeah, their exhibits are fantastic.
They really are. It's a wonderful museum and highly highly respected in the museum world as well.
Yes.
Yeah, this will be great for when we, when the first group comes down from the IWFL for the induction. I want them to kind of get that. You know, although the Museum of World Treasures is fantastic, like that there's more for them to see, and hopefully, you know, they'll spend a couple of days around Wichita, you know, and pass the word around and say, oh, come on, you know, let's come back here. It's a lot of fun.
You could easily spend a week in Wichita and have a fantastic time. There's wonderful dining here, great shopping, wonderful attractions. So, yeah, it's a great destination.
Yeah. And by the way, Jack, I forgot to ask, what is your website?
It is hatmanjacks.com.
Okay, cool.
Hatmanjacks.com, and we really carry every kind of hat known to man and woman, and just, you know, it's kind of remarkable. You know, we go so deep into selection, it often surprises people that they find a shop this size in the Midwest.
Maybe we'll have to come up with a New York shark hat.
Sounds good to me. We can design one just specially, maybe even put some, I don't know, real teeth in it or something. That'd be great.
That would be a hoot.
Yeah, it would.
That would take the bite out of things, huh?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got it. You've got a motto in the making.
Yeah.
No more puns, Merle.
Okay, I'll try not to.
Let's leave that to the professional marketing people. Is that what you're saying,
Lynn? There you go.
That's great.
Yeah, if you come to town, though, you do have to get over to Jack's because it's a cool place.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, great, guys. You know, it's been great talking to all of you. You see, the rest of you still there?
We are.
Okay. Still here.
Just want to make sure. Yeah. If anybody else has any of you guys like any afterthoughts or something you might want to throw in.
I can think of something. If you are planning a trip to Wichita, one great resource would be to go to the website www.visitwichita.com.
Okay.
It has all the different restaurants you can see, a list of just everything, and then there's also a calendar of events that has so many different hidden treasures in the city. You just go there and click on the events calendar. I know the Cosmosphere posts stuff up there, and I've seen Exploration Place, and there's so many other venues in Wichita that we couldn't even begin to list off.
Mm.
So
and make a trip to Hutchinson, because it's a 30-minute drive from Wichita.
Yeah.
And you can drive up there and catch those two, you know, the Salt Mine Museum and the Cosmosphere. Gosh, they're fabulous. I'm telling you, they're great.
It's true, and it's not a bad drive at all. It's really an easy, pleasant drive. And there's one other website, too, that's very new that's just been started by Visioneering Wichita, and it's called UploadWichita.com.
Oh, okay.
And it's all it is you know, comments from people who have visited here, sometimes in written form, sometimes they'll actually have a video of themselves talking about an attraction or attractions. So that's a really great resource, too.
There's one more attraction that we didn't mention between Wichita and Hutchinson, and that's the community of Yoder. It's an Amish community.
Oh, yeah.
That has a lot of down-home shopping for all kinds of not only Kansas products but also Amish products. Has a wonderful restaurant there as well. And a lot of people stop there on their way to Hutchinson.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, if you're looking for a wick to an oil lamp or some wonderful sleds, anything manual, non-mechanical, they've got a store there. It's a hardware store, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wonderful, wonderful products that you would never find at any, you know, modern-day hardware store. Wonderful place to go.
Not to mention the Amish quilts as well.
Mm-hmm.
One other attraction in Hutchinson that I would always encourage everybody to visit while they're in town, and it's especially spectacular during the spring and summer, and that's the Dillon Nature Center. It's a free attraction here in town, but they have a nature area that you can walk through native grasses, and they have wonderful plants and as well as all sorts of wildlife in the area. It's a very beautiful nature center to go through.
Right. Oh, yeah, I did. I had like a few moments, I think, in my itinerary there. As a matter of fact, as it was, I was at Wichita for 3 days, and because just in those 3 days, and I hadn't even seen everything, it took me 2 articles back to back to write about everything I saw. You know, it was like, you know, because I didn't want to like just do like one, you know, a couple of lines on everything. But I was surprised, and before I went down, when I told people I'm going to Wichita, everybody said, "Why?" And my answer was, "Because I've never been there."
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful, wonderful area to visit and to live and to see. I mean, like everybody said, there's so much to see and do around here. Of course, you know, the Reno County Museum is here in Hutchinson as well. In March, we're going to be putting in an exhibit that is explaining polio and how it affected Reno County. And Jack, I think you would like this one. One of our ongoing displays we have is a hat display.
I've heard about it.
Your expertise on it.
I would love to come up and see that, and I haven't yet.
Okay. All right, guys. Again, it was great talking to all of you. Yeah, and this all gets archived, so you know you can anybody who hasn't been able to listen to it or log on now, and as a listener, you can always listen to it at another time. And Lana, hope to see you in March or April, whenever this production is. You know,
take you around all these wonderful attractions here in Wichita when you're here.
Oh yeah, I'll make a point of it.
All right.
Okay, guys.
Thank you very much, Merle.
Yeah, and have a great new year.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
All right,
bye. And ladies and gentlemen, right now, here's a word from our sponsor.
This program is brought to you by M&S Italian Food Specialists, the official caterers for the crew of Lydia's Family Table, which can be seen on PBS. M&S is located at 34-23 Francis Lewis Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. There, you'll find over 100 different types of cheeses, store-made sausages, fresh meats, as well as great salads and sandwiches. Choose fully cooked items from the deli area, or just tell Joe what you're interested in preparing. M&S carries a full line of imported groceries for all your cooking needs. Call them at 718-353-8318. A family business for over 50 years.
Well, that's in case, because and people wondering, like, since I'm in New York, this is a place that's in Queens, in New York City, even though this whole thing goes, this is all over the world because it's on the Internet. But and if you happen to be in New York City, it's absolutely a fabulous place to get a Italian specialties. Now, one thing I want to do, because we're coming toward the end of the show, I realize that everybody has, gotten their holiday gifts, and I would like to read a bunch of the Christmas letters from one Agnes Miller, who, I don't know if anybody had, if you've had heard of this, but I'm going to read this to you, and she's not quite happy, I'll just kind of read this here. December 14th, my dearest darling John, I went to the door today and the postman delivered a partridge and a pear tree. What a beautiful gift. I couldn't have been more surprised. Deepest love and devotion, Agnes. December 15th, my dearest darling John, today the postman brought your sweet gift. Just imagine two turtle doves. I'm just delighted with your most thoughtful present. They are adorable. All my love and devotion, Agnes. December 16th, my dearest John. Oh, aren't you the extravagant one? Now I really must protest. I don't deserve such generosity. Three French hens. They're just darling, but I must insist you've been too kind. All my love, Agnes. December 17th, my dear John. Today the postman delivered four calling birds. And now really they are beautiful, but don't you think enough is enough? You're being really romantic. All my love, Agnes. December 18th. Dear John, what a surprise. Today the postman delivered five gold rings, one for every finger. You're impossible, but I love it. Frankly, all those birds squawking were beginning to get on my nerves. love, Agnes. December 19th. Johnny, when I opened the door today, there were actually six geese laying on my front doorstep. So you're back to the birds again, huh? Those birds are huge. Where will I keep them? The neighbors are complaining, and I can't sleep through the racket. Please stop. Cordially yours, Agnes. December 20th. John, what's with you and those fucking birds? Seven swans are swimming? What kind of goddamn joke is that? There's bird shit all over this house, and they never stop the racket. I can't sleep at night, and I'm a nervous wreck. It's not funny, so stop with those fucking birds. Sincerely, Agnes. December 21st. Okay, Buster, I think I prefer the birds. What the hell am I going to do with eight maids and milking? It's enough with those goddamn birds and eight maids and milking. They had to bring their goddamn cows, too. There's cow shit all over the lawn, and I can't move in my own house. Just lay off, smartass. Agnes. December 22nd. Hey, shithead! What are you, some kind of a sadist? Now there's nine pipers playing, and Christ, do they play. They've never stopped chasing those maids since they got here. Those cows are getting upset, and they've stomped all over those screeching birds. What am I going to do? The neighbors have started a petition to evict me. You'll get yours, Agnes. December 23rd. You rotten prick! Now there's 10 ladies dancing. I don't know why I call them ladies. Those sluts have been bawling those pipers all night long. Now the cows can't sleep and they've got diarrhea. My living room is a river of shit. The buildings commissioner has summoned me to show cause why this building should not be condemned. I'll turn the police on you, your sworn enemy, Agnes. December 24th. Fuck it! What are the other lords are leaving all those maids and ladies? Some of those broads will never milk again. Those pipers ran through the maids and have been making it with the cows, too. All 23 birds are dead. They've been trampled to death in the orgy. I hope you're satisfied, you rotten bastard. Hoping someone kicks you in the balls. Agnes. December 25th. Law offices of Smith, Bender, and James, 225 Broadway, New York, New York. Dear sir, this is to acknowledge your latest gift of 12 fiddlers fiddling, which you have seen fit to inflict upon my client, Miss Agnes Miller. The destruction, of course, was total. All your future correspondence should come to our attention. If you should attempt to reach Miss Miller at Happydale Sanatorium, the attendant has orders to shoot you on sight. With this letter, please find attached a warrant for your arrest. Cordially yours, Smith, Bender, and James. Well, I hope you all had a Merry Christmas, and of course, the Happy New Year that will be coming up. I'm not sure what I'm going to be speaking about next week. I'm looking to talk about possibly either Lancaster, Pennsylvania, but, well, basically just log on and check out, For with Merle, or go onto my website, and you can read a whole bunch of articles that I write. I'm writing for 11 publications right now, including Edge Publications, Empty Closet, La Voz Latina in Pennsylvania. By the way, Empty Closet in Rochester, Destinations for Men, Capeway Traveler, of course, the Queens Times, which I write every week, the Tampa Bay Gazette, the New York Blade, and website of travel-travel-travel-com. So I hope everything will be fine in for the next year for you. I know I'm going to be planning lots of trips, including one to Naples, Italy. And because of that, I have a copy of the Rosetta Stone so I can learn Italian. And so far I can say, like, La Donna Beve, Scrivo. I mean, I'm so far eating, drinking, and so far it hasn't gotten to where's the bathroom yet. But I'm sure somebody will let me know. So in the meantime, we'll see you, like, next week, and enjoy whatever it is you're doing this evening, and even more important is to maintain a sense of humor about everything. For those of you that are still in the middle of your Christmas vacation, here is... by the Isaac, I feel a Christmas spirit.
I used to mark the calendar and watch the days go by. For the
yeah, I'll find a new one for next week. Don't worry about it.
And when they whiten the mountain tops, the valleys, and the trees, I can feel the Christmas spirit take a hold of me. I feel the Christmas spirit blowing in the air. There's lots of joy and happiness in the present that we share. No other day can take its place around my memory. The world is celebrating with friends and family.
By the way, next week show, which is really just starting from 7 to 8 p.m. instead of 6 to 7 p.m. on my time.
The children dream of Santa with jingles on the sleigh. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer gladly leads the way. With joy they all are singing, I hear them laugh and pray. Can't you feel the Christmas spirit on the special day? Happiness in the present that we share. No other day can take its place.